Hey, this is James from SurvivalPunk.com, and we're back in the pod studio. Cleaned it out a little bit, got in here. It's dark, but I'm not sweating my balls off today, so that's great. My studio lights weren't charged, so they're not putting out optimal light performance. Whatever. We can record in the mostly dark. It doesn't matter. Another podcast episode so soon. I know. maybe we will get on a more regular schedule. I will try. The apocalypse has got me a little amped up about survival again. You know, it happens. And I will probably do an episode on prepper burnout again soon. You know, it happens. It's a real thing. You know, not everyone can prep 100%, 100% of the time. So there's that. But, if you haven't kicked your preps into high gear with all of this shit going on, you should. And, you know, I don't like to preach prepping. I don't like to preach prepping for events, because events tend to be a bad reason to prep. I.e., if you prep really hard for Y2K, you know the world didn't end. So you sold all your shit off like January 1st, the day after. You know, nothing happened. If you prepped for 2012, the Mayan calendar shit, chances are you probably sold your shit off after that. And there's a good chance when, you know, I'm not going to say we're in the end game now. I'm not going to say we're always steadily marching towards a collapse. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Some form of a collapse. We're definitely in the throes of a collapse now. If you look at history, the collapse of the Roman Empire, really, if you study it, took about 200 years. So America's only about 200 years old. It would be double our lifespan to make it another's. You know, are we going to make it another 200 years? I don't know. I don't know. But definitely say we're moving towards that. I'm not going to say it's tomorrow. I'm not going to say it's next year. I'm not going to say it's 10 years from now. But it would behoove you, take a shot, Jeff Radke, to be prepared. Today, in our sort of return to basic series, you know, maybe you had some prepper burnout. Maybe you took some time off. You weren't really prepping that hard. So, you know, you're mindset's not there, and you gotta get back into it. So we're kind of going a back to basic series. Last episode was super back to basics. Just a sort of general overview. There's a good chance we're picking up new listeners. New people are like, oh yeah, things are pretty rough. I might need to be prepared. Might need some food, because literally the shelves are empty for weeks. And if you've seen gun sales, those are through the roof. There's a lot of new gun owners. Welcome to the club. We welcome you. That's what today's episode is about. We're going to talk about guns for survival. We're not going to get into. I just thought of something else to talk about today. Something else to add to the list. So we're not going to talk about competition shooting. We're not going to dive deep into hunting. I'm going to mention that you should have a gun or two or three that can do hunting, but, you know, that's not the purpose of the story. And to be honest, I probably need to get an expert hunter on here. Do some interview shows. God, when was the last time we did an interview on here? It's been a long time. So, I'm going to definitely look into getting some people on here. Trying to get Glenn Tate back on the show. I've been listening to the 299 Day book series. because of the apocalypse going on. And just I forgot how much I love that book series. So, yeah, let's go ahead and get into the show, which is not on Mango Cilantro Chicken, which is the first thing that comes up when I log into my show notes thing. All notes. Basic survival firearms. Let me add a note in here real quick, guys, if you don't mind. If you haven't noticed, I've started, and I guess I'm going to have to amp it up, but I've started putting the episodes out on YouTube. Yeah, started adding YouTube. I get the lighting and I get the pod studio set up a bit more. I think I'm going to switch to just doing video. So you can, if you want to, for whatever freaking reason, want to see me while I talk, you'll be able to do that. Getting pressure shining. Wrong. Yeah, there we go. Okay. So, and by no means am I a firearms expert. I'm just going to lay that out at the beginning. I had a transition from being, you know, I grew up in damn near inner city Nashville, suburbs really, but like I could literally walk to downtown Nashville, which is not the biggest city ever, but it is, I mean, chances are y'all have heard of Nashville, you know, almost worldwide. Like it's one of those cities you heard from, especially if you like country music, which it's the home of. I don't. There are a handful of country songs that I like. And, like I was at work the other day and a guy at work had on his phone was playing, I Got Friends in Low Places, Garth Brooks. And, that song just always gives me a kick. It's like, I do have friends in low places. Thank God I do. You know, it's like, if you don't have friends in low places, go get you some. You know, like, you're like, hey guys, I need you guys to show up over here with baseball bats because we got to deal with a problem. All right, we'll be there. Those kinds of friends. I got some great friends. So yeah, let's dive into this. Why own guns? Have you seen what's going on? I'm pretty sure this one is almost a moot point now. Why own guns? God, the gun sales have skyrocketed. Most people have started to realize, yeah, the gun grabbing bullshit is dumb. I need to own a gun. For God's sake, they're trying to defund the police. If your premise before was don't own a gun, just call the police, and you want to defund the police, what are you gonna do? I don't know. I've been trying to make logic out of a lot of the things going on, and I can't follow this. Like, you can't logically follow some of this stuff unless you go way. You either one, assume that there's no logic and it's just dumb, okay, or you go way into like Alex Jones territory. And then stuff starts to make sense. And then you're like, fuck, I'm in Alex Jones territory. Back up slowly. So recently I was playing around on BitChute, the alternative to YouTube, and which Alex Jones is on. And I saw an Alex Jones video. And by God, he made sense. And I was like, fuck. You know things are screwed up when Alex Jones is making sense. I'll let that sink in. So why own guns? Because there is a large movement to defund the police. You need to take your protection in your own hands. That's one of the big things about prepping that appeals to me. I don't like to ask for help. I like to do things myself. You know, if I'm asking for help, then the shit has hit the fan. It's serious. you know, I don't mind taking charge, but I don't like to, I like to be in control and responsibility of my own needs. That's why prepping appealed to me. You know, like, I don't want to rely on FEMA to give me MREs, although I would take some MREs, kindly. Thank you. I want to have my own food. I want to be in control. I want to have that taken care of. So when you take responsibility for your own safety, you own a firearm. It's the best way to stay safe. It's the best way to defend your safety. to keep people from infringing on your intrinsic rights. Defending yourself is an intrinsic God-given right. Someone's trying to murder you. You have every right to stop them. And a firearm is the best way to do so. I'm sorry, swinging around a sword is probably not the best way. That's what you have, and that's what's available. It works. I remember years ago, some news story about some guy that had a high-end katana, and some guy broke into his house, and he, like, sliced his arm off? At least his wrist. He, like, sliced his wrist off. So, yeah, it could work. But at that point, you're better off just buying a gun. If things get really bad, you're going to need firearms for a lot of reasons. I don't know about you. I've seen primitive survival shows. iCaveman, with Rob Wolf, Morgan Spurlock. I've seen other sort of historical reenactment things. It was hard. You want to go hunt antelope with an atlatl? By all means, go right ahead. I would rather take a deer or an antelope with a 30-06 with a scope on it from far enough away that it can't smell me, or at least give me a better chance. I've seen Survivor Man, Les Stroud. I've seen him go fishing with primitive fishing poles. They suck. They suck every time. It's the better your equipment, the better your chance of survival are. Why hinder yourself? You know, why just think, oh, I'll just make a bow and arrow from a tree branch. Probably won't. It'll probably suck. You know, you can get a hunting rifle used in great shape for a few hundred bucks. Why not? You can get a shotgun for hunting and for home defense for a few hundred bucks. Why would you limit yourself and take away from that? So why own a gun? There's a million reasons. And chances are, if you're listening to this, you've already pretty much got on the boat. Like, you're not listening to this as a anti-gun person and thinking, well, let's see if James can convince me. You know, if society does collapse, the protection and the hunting goes that much further. There's literally no detractions, and only benefits. There's no point where you're like, man, I wish I didn't have this gun. And if you buy one and you decide you don't want it, they have good high resale. For a while, I was buying and selling firearms, and my mom was like, are you an arms dealer now? Because it was a lot. You know, firearms are one of the first things people decide to sell when they hit hard times. You know, and they just want to get some money. Like, their rent's due. They've got this gun they've never used. It's sitting around. It's in a case. Rent to do. They got to sell it. So you can buy it and make a good profit. So, you know, I did some flipping. And then, you know, I kept some of the good ones. Got a great deal on an M1 Garand. I sold it to my stepfather. I hope he still has it. I always kind of wanted that back. The M1 Garand from World War II. Great gun. Super fun. Punch like a mule. Smash your thumbs. Good times. So if I've convinced you or you're already on board, let's go ahead and move on to gun responsibility. Really want to tackle this before we, you know, get any further. Being a responsible gun owner, it's vitally important. It needs to be like your number one priority. You need to be a safe gun owner. There are a lot of gun accidents. Some of it is from men can be dumb. There's a lot of accidents to come from like hold my beer moments. You know, I think the first time I went shooting with my first handgun, you know, I was in the field with some buddies and I was dumb. I didn't know how to properly shoot a firearm. I had my thumb up too high on the handle on the slide, and the slide hit me, and you know, it didn't break my thumb, but my thumb hurt for quite a while. And that's just one form of like responsibility. Like leaving your loaded firearms laying around when you have kids, probably not a smart idea. Probably not a smart idea at all, my friends. There's way too many kids that are never taught firearm safety. We'll just put that out there. Their dad has a gun that they keep hidden because their mom's afraid of guns, and the kids never learned about them, and they get to fucking around with them, and they hurt themselves or their friends. And that's just a tragic reality. It happens. So being a responsible gun owner, it goes from that. It goes from securing your weapons. It goes from not being dumb with your weapons, to just being a better human in general. You know, if you take your firearms to where you get a concealed carry permit, or your state is free and doesn't have a permit and you can carry concealed or open, you need to be better than everybody else. You get into like a little, someone cuts you off in traffic. You're not a firearms carrier. You know, you flip them off. You call them a jackass. You know, those altercations don't need to happen when you're being extra responsible with a firearm. You don't need to start instigating things like that where you might need to use your firearm. Really want to avoid those situations. It needs to be there for when your life is threatened or the life of others. You know, you're shopping at a Walmart and an active shooter situation occurs and you're a concealed carry firearm owner. You are responsible. You've taken on that responsibility of stopping that situation. The police will never get there as fast as you being a person there at the time can be. And there's lots of situations where a firearms owner stopped those things, prevented death. And you know, that's one of the things you need to think about when you choose to carry, that you can't go around instigating and brandishing your firearm, which is a felony in most places. You have to have a cool, calm, and collected head, and you've got to be prepared to take a life when there are threats. It's, you know, a lot of liberals just go around saying that, like, gun people are just crazy wanting to murder people and stuff, and it's so much different when you're actually a responsible firearms owner. No one ever wants to come across those situations, but they don't want to be in those situations unprepared. They don't want those situations to be able to go unchecked. You know, a shooter go on a shooting spree and there's no one there to stop them until they kill themselves or whatever shit happens. That is So I was trying to look up the firearm safety rules, and that one went a little far. I tend to like a modified four firearm safety rules, and where did I had it much further down my list? No. We'll go ahead and talk about the firearm fundamentals, the safety fundamentals. I'm sure you all know this. You may not know rule number five that was taught to me that I think in my concealed carry class, and I may have heard a few other people talk about it, but definitely don't see it on any of these lists that I'm looking at. It's mostly the four firearm safety rules, which are number one, all guns are always loaded. And if you're completely new to guns, you may be like, what? Oh, my light is out now, so I definitely need to charge it. All guns are always loaded. Anytime you pick up a gun, anytime you're handed a weapon, you have to treat that weapon as if it's loaded, even if you know it's not loaded. And you check it. Check to see if there's a chamber, see if there's a bullet in the chamber. And that's just the number one rule of safety. Always treat every gun as if it's loaded all the time. So never casually just grab a gun. Never wave it around. And that puts us at number two, which is never point a gun at anything you're not willing to shoot and or destroy. I was definitely taught destroy. Because it tends to evoke a stronger emotional response than shoot. Never point the gun at anything you're not willing to shoot. Never point the gun at anything you're not willing to destroy. Okay, well, if I even pointed at that thing, I could very well destroy it. Because, one, guns are always loaded. You know, if you're a liberal, you think that guns just magically go off and shoot people and things on their own. Just saying. You know, I've seen a trend of people, like, pointing their guns at their balls, like, as a joke. Don't do that. I don't care who you are. Don't. I don't want to destroy my balls. I don't. So I'm not going to point the gun at anything I don't want to destroy. Point in a safe area. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target. And this is one of those ones that gets called out, so people are pretty aware of this. Anytime you're looking at pictures of gun models, usually, that's one of the things that people are commenting about. Not the gun model's amazing boobs, perhaps, or amazing butt, but if their finger is on or off the trigger, if you're posing with a gun for pictures, don't put your finger on the trigger. And if you do, you're going to get roasted on the internet. It's another safety precaution. If you treat the gun as it's loaded and you don't point at anything you want to destroy and you don't have your finger on your trigger, you see where it's going? Like, it's kind of hard to fuck shit up. You know, in the world of logic and understanding, we understand that firearms don't just go off. It's never happened. A gun has never been like, fuck it. I'm just gonna go off. It's not gonna happen. If you're pointing in a safe location and your finger's not on it, it's not gonna go boom. And lastly, be sure of your target and what's behind it. You know, you're shooting at a target, maybe in your backyard, you set up a target, know where those bullets are going to go when they pass the target. Know what's in the sort of ricochet zone. So if you live in a suburban area, don't put up a paper target by your neighbor's fence. So you go through the target, so you go through the fence, so you go through your neighbor, and then you're in trouble. To be honest, though, you're probably not shooting in the backyard in suburbia anyway. It's probably a city ordinance that you can't do, but just saying, always know what's behind your target. Those are the four safety firearm rules that you'll learn everywhere. taking my class, the guy added an extra one. The extra one was never grab for a falling firearm. If you watch movies and stuff, you always see that you drop a firearm and it just starts going off. That's probably not going to happen. Almost ever. You know what does happen though? You reach for your gun that you dropped. You reach in the trigger well and you pull the trigger, and then your gun's going off and you probably shot your balls off. Yeah. So, and it's hard. Like, you see your $600-$700 Glock falling towards the ground. Your instinct is to reach for it. Don't do it. Let it fall. It's not going to go off. Probably not going to break. God, I saw a YouTuber Grand Thumb throw a Glock at a rock twice, and I think it still shot. And wasn't even damaged. Like, maybe they had to lube it up and straighten the rails or something, but Glocks have a good warranty. Maybe not so much if you deliberately throw it at a rock. But the slight drop from, like, your shooting bench to the ground, it's going to be fine. And it's still better than possibly shooting yourself or someone else. So get the myth out of your mind that it's going to hit the ground and just start blasting people away. It's going to hit the ground. It's going to thud. It's not going to go off. Next up, choosing the right gun. This is an interesting one. There are a lot of guns out there. So how do you choose the right one? You don't choose a High Point. Just saying. If you're looking on the market and you see, oh, hey, High Point makes the cheapest handgun out there. Like, you can buy a handgun for a little over $100. Don't do it. It's a reliability issue. They're big, they're clunky, the sights aren't great, but they're also not super reliable. Somebody was like, hey, James, I got this free High Point. Do you want it? Probably going to take it. But I would not waste my money buying a High Point. Just saying. I'm going to buy a handgun for personal safety, and having a malfunction in my personal safety device is carelessness. It's not being responsible. I'd rather spend that $100 and save up for a Glock 19 or a more responsible, a more reliable firearm, or spend that $100 on buying practice ammo to be better at it, or a holster, or anything but a High Point. So there's a couple ways you really find the right firearm. I've shot a few. And my hands are fairly large, so the smaller subcompact firearms, not really a great fit for me. If you have smaller arms, maybe some of the bigger full size, full frame handguns are not the right fit for you. So a lot of the good indoor gun store ranges will allow you to rent firearms. They usually have packages on Groupon. You can go find a package, rent firearm, see how you like it. You're not out a lot of money. And you can see how it fits your arm. A lot of the sort of smaller, not so chain gun stores, will have a decent staff that will, help you choose a firearm, especially for rental. They're like, if you're a 5 foot lady with tiny hands, maybe they're like, hey, this, Ruger LCP is a good fit for you. If you're a 6'5 mountain man, maybe this Glock 17 is right for you. Try a few, see how you like it. And then see that one, you're firing accurately and comfortably. And comfort does come into factors. No reason if you can find a reliable firearm that is comfortable for you to shoot reliably, then why not? And you know, later on you get into the whole one to carry comfortably. You know, what size model can you carry comfortably? You know, a full size Glock 17 and an internal waist belt holster is probably not the most comfortable thing in the world. I carried a Glock 19 inside the waist belt fairly comfortably. You know, it took a little getting used to. But, you know, I concealed it well and I carried it comfortably. You know, and if you're a smaller person, then maybe you want to find a smaller weapon. Maybe you want to find a different carry system itself. You know, if it's cool where you're at, maybe you can go with like a shoulder holster, which is probably the most comfortable way to carry and, you know, a fair, quick way to draw. You know, whereas, you know, the inside of the waist belt holsters are not always the easiest. Pocket holsters, you know, you can walk around your hands in your pocket and draw that pretty damn quickly. But, you know, it comes with practice, the whole drawing. It's a good time to do some, like, dry fire drills, you know, for drawing. Drawing dry fire drills. That's a tongue twister, guys. You know, or if you got some buddies that own guns, just ask them if they'll go to range. You buy some ammo, you take them out there, you shoot some of the ammo, they shoot some of the ammo. They're usually more than happy. You know, if any of my friends are like, hey, James, we want to go shooting, we'll buy some ammo, you want to go? Yes. Yes, I do. You know, I've deliberately taken people who have never shot firearms. Like, that's – I love doing that. Just the sort of joy and like fun on their face when they shoot a firearm. It's great. So I highly recommend if you know someone that's, you know, looking for a gun and getting interested in firearms, take them shooting, let them experience it. And that's really, you know, I could just be like the guys that are like, how you choose the right firearm? Buy a Glock 19, call it a day. Okay. Yeah, sure. That's what we'll do. We'll just buy a Glock 19. And you know what? I did buy a Glock 19 and I loved it. It worked great. Never malfunctioned. It was perfect. You know, so I would say you can't go wrong with a Glock 19, but it's still probably worth, you know, trying a few other ones. Like there are, find someone with a 1911 and tell them you're not convinced that 1911 is the best firearm for defense, and you've never shot one. They will take you to the range, and they will try to convince you that the 1911 is the best firearm ever made. So that's one way to get to shoot the 1911, you know, which is a great firearm. You know, for a long time it was, you know, you watch movies, you see the 1911, you're like, that's the firearm I want to own. And growing up in the, you know, 80s, 90s, like I saw a lot of the movies had the Beretta 92. That's what I wanted then. So, yeah. You know, it's take it out and shoot it and see if it's right for you. Which, you know, I have shot a Beretta 92. Beretta 92, I think that's what it is. Great firearm. Real fun to shoot. And that's another thing. Like, why own guns? They're fun, you know? Shit. When I was doing that whole, like, buying, selling guns, like, came across like an old 1870s, 1900 Rhino rifle from, you know, made to hunt big game in Africa. Had some weird caliber. We had to track it down. Unreliable as shit. The bullets are all old. Super fun though. Super fun. Just, God, what a huge bullet. So I know a lot of people talk about the core four guns you should own. And I'm just going to throw it out there that I disagree. if you own the Core 4, you know, you're probably good. But I think you can take it one more, go to the Core 5, having 5 survival guns, you're better off. Do you need more? You know, there's a couple other categories we could fill niches for. But I feel that these 5 guns will take care of every survival need you have. And anything else is sort of niche add-on, you know. Do you need a long-range sniper rifle? I don't know. Can you shoot that far? Do you want to put in the time to learn to shoot that far? You know, that's up to you. For me, no. The core 5 survival guns that I believe you need to have are a shotgun, you know, and I leave the gauge up to you. I have a 12. I think a 12 gauge is great. 20 gauge has some good purposes you could use it for. But I think you're probably, I think with accessories and versatility, the 12 gauge is probably the way to go. Just is. A 22 long rifle, you know, small game hunting and for just practice and teaching new shooters how to shoot, nothing beats a 22. What, 10 years ago, 2010, somewhere around there. Yeah. Buying 22 ammo was like the golden age of buying 22 ammo. You know, I just buy bricks every payday, you know, and still I've got a small arsenal of like 2000 rounds of 22 long rifle. Which is what the news would say if they ever framed me for something I didn't do. He's got an arsenal of 22 long rifle. Anyway, you know, ammo is still fairly cheap and it's pretty readily available. You can find it again. It was pretty sketchy for a while there. Nah, not so much anymore. 22, a handgun. You know what? I think you definitely need to own a handgun. The role that the handgun fills in personal defense, you know, carrying around, nothing, you know, like, if I'm in a firefight, probably rather own an AR-15. But there's a lot of situations where you can't carry the AR-15 and you can carry a concealed firearm, a handgun. So that's what I think you should do. For every situation where you can't have an AR-15, you can have a handgun. And if for whatever reasons you can't have a handgun in that situation, i.e. the business is a Nazi and doesn't want you to own a firearm, shout out Buffalo Wild Wings, fuck them motherfuckers. Go somewhere that does. There's a keto bakery in Dixon where I work at. And on the door, they had a big sign with a gun on it, like a Glock. And I was like, oh no, are they fucking Nazis in here? No. The sign said, we proudly support firearms. Your firearm is welcome in here. And I'm like, yes, this is the place where I want to shop. And it's good food too, by the way. Next up is a centerfire rifle. Something for taking game. Bigger game than, say, rabbits and squirrels that your 22 will cover. So, like, birds and fowl, you got your shotgun for rabbits and squirrel and small game like that. You got your 22. You know, take out varmints with it. Coyotes and shit harassing your hens. 22. Next up, you want to take down a deer. Kind of gotta move up. Gotta move to a centerfire rifle. Personal preference, I'm gonna go with a 30-06. I think it's a great round for that purpose. You know, it, and I'm not really digging super deep into like location and stuff. So a lot of these things will vary. You know, you live in Alaska, maybe the 30-06 is underpowered. You know, maybe if you're out hunting or defending yourself, you have to worry about Bear. And 3006 may be a little underpowered for a bear. You know, you live in Canada and you have Big Moose. 3006, maybe not the best, you know. There is a funny story about an African hunter taking down a elephant with a 22 long rifle, but it was a fluke, you know. They were using the 22 to drive the elephant to the hunter that had the elephant gun. But the guy with the 22 like hit the most lucky shot ever and like rattled around in the elephant's brain until it mushed it and it dropped. One in a million shot, guys. You know, you're up north. Maybe you want to think about 10 millimeter or, that's for a handgun. Maybe you want to move up from like your handgun being a much stronger handgun and your rifle being a much more stronger rifle than a 30-06. Maybe you think 3006 is fine, though. You know, here in my area, you know, fairly dense wooded Tennessee area, nothing much bigger than a big deer. You know, big deer is about all we have. Though there was pictures of someone, like, not far from where I work at that had a jaguar in their yard. Whatever. Whatever. Yeah. 3006 scoped. If you said, James, what gun would you pick for that? I'm going to go Remington 700. So shotgun Remington 800. The 700 3006 rifle, with a scope on it is great for that. So, there's our four. So what's the fifth one that I add? I struggled to come up with a name for this category. So we've got our shotgun, you know, category shotgun. Pick your shotgun, you know, 12 gauge, whatever you want. Brand doesn't matter. Personal preference. 22. There's the Marlin 22. There's the Ruger 10-22. There's a lot of old, great 22s you can pick up. Up to you. You know, your hunting rifle, your centerfire rifle, up to you. So what do I call the next category? You know, and I struggled. And the term that came to mind, I'm like, God, I don't want to be that dude. I don't want to be the guy that says you need a main battle rifle. Personal defense rifle. I hate the term assault rifle. I don't want to say an AR-15 because there are non-AR-15s that would work in this category just fine. The AK-47, if you're an AK-47 guy, then by all means. So close quarter combat rifle. Whatever you want to call this category. A lot of like Red Dawn sort of prepper people call it the main battle rifle. Whatever. We'll go with it. It's your rifle that you're going to use for personal defense. Shit hit the fan, full on collapse. You're defending your home, your neighborhood, your street, your block. Nothing beats this category of weapon. You know, yeah, you get a bunch of duck hunters out there with shotguns, and man, they can probably slice down, you know, some rioters, some looters. But I don't think anything, the militaries of the world have all adapted these types of rifles. There's a reason for it. This is for offense and defense and stopping people. It works. So do I think you'll ever need it? Probably not. But I think not having it is once again not being responsible for your safety. So you should have it. So that's my five survival guns you should have. You should have a shotgun for defense. You don't even have to be good at shooting a shotgun. You just have to be fairly decent. Hell, getting a pump action shotgun, just the sound, the ch-ch, will scare the shit out of people. Everyone knows that sound. It's almost from like infancy. You're like, oh shit, that's a shotgun. And it's just instant terror. There's a lot of defense capabilities that shotgun has. Hunting, going to just a hunting perspective. Could you imagine trying to hit like a duck with your .22? Ooh, sounds like fun, doesn't it? Or would you rather have some buckshot? You know, increase your chances of taking down that thing. Yeah, you'll get some shot in the meat. Whatever. You know, would you rather have to deal with some shot, or would you rather have to deal with an empty stomach? Enough said. As far as I'm concerned, 22 long rifle. Just for teaching new shooters, just for training and taking small game, you have to have a 22. You could go crazy and get a 17 HMR or some other sort of small caliber rimfire weapon. Why bother? At that point, you're just being like curmudgeon-y. You're just being different, and you're just being an asshole. I mean, just get a fucking 22. If you want a 17 HMR, go get one, but have your 22 first. If you want anything extra onto the Core 5, by all means, have fun. There's a lot of extra guns you can have. You get into firearm collecting and shooting, you know, have fun. While times are still good, you know, experiment and play around, but have your bases covered is what I'm saying. And then you have your main hunting rifle, you know, your center fire rifle, to take out deer. Yeah, you know, it would probably behoove you before a collapse to learn how to hunt and do some hunting, but you know, at least having that squared away and being proficient in shooting with that. And then it, you know, the shit hits the fan, you have to go hunt. There's no longer a wildlife, you know, agency to come out there and slap you with a fine. Fine. Yeah. If you're squared away and then you don't do it until the apocalypse, you know, humans have been doing this for like a million years, guys. You'll figure it out. It may be rough, but I think you'll figure it out. But you would be better off if you went hunting before that to get the basics of it. And then a main battle rifle, we talked about it, just for personal safety. There's nothing that beats it for that close quarter combat, you know, turning away rioters, mob looters, angry mob, zombies, whatever. Main battle rifle, guys. So We've got our firearms. We've found the right ones. We're responsible with them. Now we need to learn to use them. You know, it's... Wow. I'm dragging along in this show, guys. Highly stressed getting some training. There's only so much you can really accomplish by just reading, you know, and watching videos without an instructor there to be like, no, you're holding this just slightly wrong. Do this instead. You know, and it's besides just like basics learning, like some tactical shooting, some squad movements, just more advanced training. Having some training so much behooves you. You know, You're facing an intruder that's unarmed. You know, maybe you're fine, but you know, if you have training, you're less likely to shoot yourself and or your family members and friends. That's really why. Like once you have your core guns, you probably need to spend your firearm money on ammo and training and not so much ridiculous guns. You know, like, oh, I've got my five. Now I think I'm going to get a sniper rifle that I'm never going to shoot either, along with the rest of the firearms that I never shoot. Spend that money on training and practice. Practice the other part of it. You know, being a proficient shooter is a skill that can become rusty. You don't shoot often enough. That muscle memory goes away. Some of the skills become rusty. You forget some of the nuances. This episode is just full of ums, and just deal with it. Okay. So keeping those skills fresh, what is the saying? You fall back to your least amount of training in a stressful situation. If you haven't shot in like 2 years, what are you falling back on? You know, just spray and pray, guys. I mean, come on now. Get some training, get some practice, keep it fresh. I know we're not really in ammo shortage right now, but we might be inching towards that way. War might be on the horizon, and if the army starts snapping up all the ammo for the manufacturers, it might be a little hard to get some then. Just saying. So, you know, once again, you're 22s. The army is not using 22. They're not using that. So, get you some ammo and get you some training and get you some practice and become good at your firearms. You know, learn the firearms, make them habits. Quickly, because we're running out of time. I got to get inside the house and get this episode published. You know, look into IDPA shooting. I've shot IDPA. It was a blast. By God, I didn't perform well. I definitely didn't win the competition. If you don't know, IDPA is, it's a shooting competition. You have to have your firearm, I believe concealed or at least holstered. You have to draw, you move through, you shoot targets. It's a moving and shooting competition. It's timed. You get point. One of my friends, flagged someone and got disqualified when we shot. So, you know, it teaches like good habits and it's just fun training. So just moving along that, like, IDPA is fun. You should look into it. Two last things to touch on, and then I'll get out of here. Don't keep bad guns. You know, you buy a gun, you know, I kind of get attached to things. I don't really like to get rid of things. But my first handgun was a Smith & Wesson S40 VE. Man, was it a piece of shit. You know, I paid $250 for it from a pawn shop. The buddy of mine made me a good deal on it. You know, and maybe I've heard that the SVE series isn't horrible, but chambered in 40, it was not reliable. It jammed often. You know, it fairly accurate. You know, I could shoot it well, I could be on target, but just the unreliability of it, I couldn't make that my carry weapon and put my safety in it with it being unreliable. So, you know, if you're in an active shooter situation and you draw on your target and click, either you're dead or someone else could be dead. And There's no reason to keep a bad gun like that. If it's, you know, maybe it's a bad model. Maybe you bought a High Point and it's unreliable. Don't keep it. Maybe just what you have is just old and it's just not reliable, not good anymore. Get rid of it. Buy yourself something reliable that works. Just your safety is too important to just flippantly throw around on shitty guns. So lastly, real quick, we'll talk about accessories. We don't want to get super crazy. You know, having a light on your weapon, I can see that making sense. You know, an optic on your rifle, I can see that making sense. I've got a red dot on my AR-15. Really need to get it out and play with it. You know, don't go crazy with it. You know, and don't forget, like, good accessories for your handgun and your rifle are slings and holsters. You know, your firearms holster is not universal, by the way. Do not get a universal holster. One size doesn't fit all. One size is a piece of shit. Get a holster made to fit your specific weapon and your weapon configuration, i.e. if it's got a light on it, make sure that your holster will accommodate that light. You know, and a lot of makers will make like that. A lot of Kydex people will have like, they'll get the flashlights, they'll put them on there, and then they'll make molds for that so that, you know, it'll be a perfect fit with your light if that's the system that you carry. Having spare magazines, for your handgun. I used to have a 2-magazine carrier that I would carry, with my handgun. And that's not because I planned on shooting like, you know, more than whatever, 15 people, whatever that my magazine held. It was, if your firearm jams, just dropping the mag and chambering in a new magazine is probably the best way to just deal with it. Like, you can fuck around with it. You can try to see if something's, just drop the mag and put a new one in. Having more ammunition, not a bad thing either. So there's that. Slings, you know, and I'm looking, I think I'm going to eBay my AR-15 sling. I've got an SOE single point bungee sling. It doesn't, you know, for some people's systems, it works great. You're at the shooting range. It works, you know. You know, some cops love the single point slings. I'm going to move to a 2-point sling that will keep the rifle from bouncing and hitting my junk. So I think I'm gonna throw that sling on eBay, and if you want it, you know, I might share a link. But I'm definitely gonna sell that and buy a 2-point sling, just so that I can. I've watched some videos on it, having that sling where you can sort of tuck it down to your person, hold it on there. You can move, you can run, you can climb. You know. Is better than the single point sling, which, yes, holds your firearm there, but it dangles and it it doesn't do what I want it to do, really. So get a good sling that works for you and your system. And that's all I got. I'm going to wrap it up there. I didn't super expect this episode to go on an hour, but 58 minutes, so it's starting to get hot here in the pod studio. So let's wrap it up. DIY to have guns used, guys.